Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by...
Peter Gajewski. How are you doing, Jason?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. We're talking because I know on Sunday, October 25th, the National Philharmonic is presenting... it's a full season of free streaming concerts. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Yes, so we're launching on October 25th. It's the first concert of the season, and we're going to be presenting concerts every 2 weeks, always on Sundays at 2, every 2 weeks for the whole season.
Now, take me back through, you know, the pandemic, like, you know, chronologically at least, like, give me a sense of where were you guys, like, back in March? Were you playing? I know you just come through a whole financial, you know, back and forth. You saved it. People stepped up. Philharmonic was saved. And then all of a sudden you get hit by a pandemic. So, like, where were you in terms of planning your upcoming season when all this went down?
So we got very, very lucky. So the pandemic came, you know, everybody became aware of it in March or so, and everyone at that point canceled the remainder of their season, which was the 1920 season, as did we. What we did right, what we got lucky on, is we saw that nothing was going to really be possible in the 2021 season. Most people took the view, let's see how things go. You know, in the fall, maybe we need to cancel stuff, but by January, certainly we'll be restarting. So they moved their stuff and they rescheduled to January. And of course, now they're canceling all that stuff. And whereas we took the view, listening to scientists, we took the view that literally through the summer of 2021, life as we know it, in terms of large numbers of people gathering in a concert hall to hear a performance, this is not going to happen. So at that time, we were just about ready to announce our 2021 season, a regular season with the, you know, large presentations and whatnot. We basically scrapped it all and started from scratch. But we started from scratch very early, because we started from scratch March, April. By April, we were already planning a season where no live audience would attend, where musicians would be distanced on stage, because of course we need to protect ourselves and protect all the musicians. And our motto became that anything that we plan would have to be doable under the current conditions, current being April, which was awful. That we were not going to plan anything that is going to be based on hopeful improvements of the situation on the ground. But if we could do it today, then we will, you know, we will plan the season that way. We're not going to plan anything that will require any improvement. And lo and behold, we were right on that guess, which made it possible to focus on all kinds of fantastic programming. And of course, you know, the whole changeover in the country in terms of dealing with racial issues became simultaneous with all of that. So it made it possible for us to also incorporate that into our thinking. So we planned a full season of concerts that's now launching October 25th. That is with no audience from the Strathmore stage, and some of them from AMP at Strathmore as well. And it's all geared to an audience watching online. So we had to basically reimagine everything. These are not 2 hour long concerts or 2.5 hour long concerts. You need to think of them more in terms of 60 minute television shows with all kinds of video content being created to explain the music. And I do little teachings and even demonstrations with the orchestra. So it's completely different from a regular concert experience. It's made for experiencing at home, watching on TV or watching on a screen.
So you mentioned that the musicians themselves are spaced out at the Strathmore or over at AMP. Paint a visual picture for the radio here. Like, how many musicians are on stage? How far apart are they? And like, do you just have like a camera, you know, one camera cutting around, or how does that actually work?
So The most we go, I think, is 35 musicians. And 35 musicians would be spread out on the stage at Strathmore. It turns out to be very, very complicated because, you know, string players can be distanced, 6 feet apart, wearing masks, everybody's safe. Once you get to playing wind instruments where they're putting out wind, putting out bad stuff into the air, that becomes complicated. So they need to be spaced out much further, at least 9 feet, and facing them in a certain way. In terms of, so that's how we distance ourselves, and it's all very, very carefully planned. In terms of cameras, so we've engaged a major production company that's doing with us. So all the latest technology, I mean, multiple cameras, a jib that floats over the orchestra. I mean, just the kind of stuff that people enjoy watching on a screen. So it's not just as, sort of a single take watching you. Watching from the audience, it's actually getting inside the orchestra. It's really, really good stuff. People will have lots of fun, and they will actually gain insight that they would have never gained making lemonade out of lemons here by experiencing the music this way.
And that Strathmore, is the inside of that, it's such a beautiful location. Do you have cardboard cutouts of audience like the baseball games or no?
No, we don't do fake applause, and we don't do cardboard cutouts. But we film on the stage, but we do a lot of close up photography, and of course the sound is terrific because that's a great place to record.
Sure. Where are you, Maestro? Where are you conducting with a mask, like 10 feet away? Or where are you in this?
So, yes, I'm definitely masked like everyone else. So people will have to tune in to see how it works. I'm slightly more surrounded by the orchestra than I would otherwise be, maybe. I'm distanced probably about 8 feet from the nearest player.
Cool. Let's go into some of the programming. So, first of all, I know it kicks off on the 25th with a birthday bash, 250th of Beethoven. Explain the idea of that.
Well, so you just mentioned it. It's Beethoven turns 250 this December, so we had to come in and join that celebration. The really cool thing that we're doing that this first concert already plays into as well is we're very much involving the community in Washington. So we're actually playing in other concerts. We're playing music by local composers, and we're using a lot of local soloists. So in that first concert, we have two soloists, the concertmaster of the National Symphony, Nurit Bar-Joseph, and the concertmaster of the Baltimore Symphony, Jonathan Carney, for the first time together on stage at Strathmore with the National Philharmonic. So we're kind of bringing the community together, and they're each playing a different romance by Beethoven. Beethoven wrote two romances that are about 9 minutes long, so each of them gets to play one of those kind of to kick off this community togetherness, kumbaya. And then we're also performing Beethoven's First Symphony, which is fascinating. It doesn't get that much play, but what's fascinating about it is he literally started breaking all the rules right from the very first chord of his very first symphony. And we actually go to demonstrate that before we play the symphony. It's like, what is it that he did that was so different, and how it affected his audiences? So we demonstrated, then we play the full symphony.
Awesome. So that'll kick it all off on Sunday the 25th. What are some of the other shows you have coming up? You know, what are some of the other composers you guys deal with and that kind of stuff?
So for example, in November we go all American, we're doing works by Jesse Montgomery, who is a hot composer, a woman, African American woman, just getting played by all major orchestras at this point. We're also doing a piece by Melinda Wagner, who's a New York-based composer, playing a flute concerto of hers, featuring our principal flutist, David Whiteside. And she actually won the Pulitzer Prize for that concerto in 1999.
Wow.
So, just lots of very, very cool music. And then what we're doing at AMP is we're doing chamber music, and chamber music, for those who aren't familiar with terminology, usually up to 8 musicians, but typically 4 or 5. And so there's a series at AMP that's being curated by our new concertmaster, Laura Colgate, also doing all kinds of music by women and lots of music by people of color as well. So just a fascinating program throughout the year.
So how long does it run? How long does this virtual series go through?
Through May. So we have 15 concerts every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Cool. And so then the goal is, I guess, through after May, we'll just reassess. It's hard to predict where the virus will be, where a vaccine will be, all that stuff by then. So I guess, what is the hope? You guys will maybe reopen for what, fall 2021, or what's the goal?
So we typically don't do much in the summers. So June, July would be a kind of a sleep time for us anyway. So like you said, we will be reassessing, but we are hopeful that by September of 21, we will be back in the concert hall with the audience. However, having said that, I don't think anyone at this point expects that we are going back to anything that used to be. I think life will never be the way it was. I think we're looking forward. So what we will be planning for fall of 2021 will probably incorporate some of the things that we've invented this year and that we're learning about this year. And it will probably also, at least some of the concerts will be available online, not just live. So again, I think we're taking this time of this experience to kind of reinvent what the symphony world does to make ourselves more relevant to more people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just sort of in closing, I know before the pandemic even hit, I know a lot of our listeners will remember, you know, the headlines that National Philharmonic may have to close, and then more headlines that, yay, we're going to be able to keep it going. Is there anyone you wanted to, you know, thank for stepping up and investing, and anybody you wanted to, you know, thank for keeping you guys chugging along?
So what a difference a year makes, first of all. A whole bunch of people stepped up last summer and now continue to step up. I mean, you can imagine these online presentations that are launching on October 25th are all free. So anybody can access it. Obviously, it's not free to produce. We're raising well over $1 million to put these presentations on, even with the reduced personnel. So a bunch of people are stepping up in a very big way. Certainly, National Philharmonic's board of directors, but also other major sponsors. So if I started naming them, we'd take the next 10 minutes. So I won't single out anyone, but we're incredibly grateful for them stepping up. Many other ensembles in our industry are suffering and shutting their doors for at least this season, maybe forever. So we're actually now very, very fortunate to be able to do this.
Well, the audiences are very fortunate too, because it'll give us something, you know, new and exciting to watch from the comfort of our own home. So how do they watch? Plug the website, you know, how do they log on and watch?
Yeah. So it's simple. You go to the website, nationalphilharmonic.org. There it will be. I mean, with countdowns like we're getting used to start times.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for putting on this awesome series, and I'm excited to see you conducting with the mask. That's gonna be cool. No cardboard cutouts though. See you, man.
All right. Take care, man.